So why did we read this gospel about the vine and about the Father being the vine dresser, and every branch which beareth not fruit he taketh away? Why did we read that gospel? Who do we celebrate today? St. James the Persian. And how was he martyred? By hammers. And what were they doing with the hammers? Taking his limbs off, piece by piece, joint by joint. He was pruned. He was pruned. You guys are heavy. I'm going to let you down. He was pruned. St. James is one of my favorite saints. And the reason why is because he was very far from perfect until he was perfected. And those kinds of saints, I think, are good models for us, especially in this day. And it would have been also in the day of the Bolshevik Revolution that St. James would have given comfort to many people, because apostasy is coming upon us. There are people who are apostatizing quite easily and without conscience. But when the great apostasy comes, and it's coming, the Orthodox Church is going to be shaken, but not destroyed by this great apostasy. We see within it movements within people who call themselves Orthodox, but don't act like it at all. Or they act like it as actors, but their real core beliefs are not Orthodox. And these things will start to take preeminence in our world. Our world is a world of deceit and lies. The world has always been a world of deceit and lies. It's just the only difference between our world and the ancient world is that the deceit and lies can be propagated instantaneously all over the globe. That's the only difference. Human nature is the same. So James had a human nature just like ours. He liked to be flattered. He liked to have some status. He liked to be loved. He liked to be special. And he was very much loved by the Persian king. And he worked in the court, and that's fine. Christians worked in the courts of the caliphs and the kings, pagan kings, and etc. That was okay. You can do that and not lose your soul. But he was so friendly with the king considered him to be like a son. And so he apostatized and went over to the fire-worshipping demons that they... the worship of fire gods and the Zoroastrianism. And his wife sent him a letter saying, "You're no longer my husband." And he came to his senses. He apostatized not because he was threatened to be killed, not because his land or his wealth was threatened, but because of vanity. Now, other people will apostatize because of weakness, because of avarice, because of jealousy, because of not understanding their faith to begin with, because of indifference. There are many reasons why people apostatize. Even people that are pious can apostatize because of weakness. That can happen to any one of us. Let's not pretend that we would not be sorely tempted, sorely pressed, if great persecution came upon us. It would be very difficult. But we can come back to God even if we apostatize. It's a very difficult path. Most Christians who apostatized lost their souls, the vast majority of them. So St. James is not a model for us to follow in terms of you can still be saved as long as you apostatized, because most people can't. But St. James was exemplary. He also had someone who loved him. Now, in our day, it's against the law, basically, against the made-up laws, not official laws, but they could become official soon enough. It's against the law to say bad things about people, even if they are true. It's against the law to say this is a sin, or that is wrong, or this conduct is not godly. It's against the made-up laws of humanity now to say such things. And his wife didn't follow that law. She said, "You're no longer my husband because you have apostatized." And so her love for him was tough love, hard love, even cruel love, one might say. of course, it's not possible to have cruel love. That's just mixing two things together that really don't mix. But for the sake of poetry, we could say it was cruel love. And what happened? He came to his senses because he had somebody behind him, somebody that cared for him, somebody that prayed for him. So you should beg God that you'll have people behind you in your moment of trial, in your moment of great difficulty. There was another saint just recently, I think it was yesterday. I read the Synaxarion every day, and the stories tend to blend together because they're very similar. St. George of Chios was, I think he was martyred right before the turn of the century. Not this century, but the previous one. So like 1890 or so. And he was just a regular guy in Asia Minor, and he apostatized because of fear. And he was basically afraid that he was going to get in trouble about something, so he became a Muslim. But then he repented of this, and he went away, and he was living just a regular life. I believe he got married. And later on, someone found out about this and was angry about him about something, and outed him to the authorities. And then he had to either go back to being a Muslim, or of course he would be tortured. And he was put in jail, and the church found out about this and prayed for him that he would have strength in his trial. And he indeed did have strength in this trial, and he became a martyr. He didn't start out very well. He apostatized for pretty much a flimsy reason, just as James apostatized for a flimsy reason, a foolish reason, a self-centered reason. But God did not abandon them. So God does not abandon apostates. Because there is still grace, and a person can still change. And you should remember this for your loved ones, and maybe for yourself, maybe for me, if difficult times come and there is weakness. Now, we should strive to not have this weakness. We should strive to have a strong spirit because of our inner prayer, because of our prostrations on the ground, because of our weeping, because of our saying the Jesus prayer, because of our coming to the services, coming for the Akathist that we're doing right now during Lent, but I don't know, we might continue it as best as we can. The world is dead, or it's really dying, right? Because the world's not completely dead. The Satan can't kill the world. But the world is dying, and there's just such deceit everywhere. Things that are evil are called good, and things that are good are called evil. And we're in the midst of this. And some of us are going to have to make decisions very soon about whether or not we actually say what we want to say, or whether or not we're fired, or whether or not we're even perhaps put in prison. I go to Africa, or I did. I don't know if I ever will again. Because it's possible that I might not ever get permission to go on an airplane again if this coronavirus vaccine, which will make trillions of dollars, is enforced upon us, or else we cannot fly. A lot of things could happen. And James wasn't aware of the things that could happen when he just apostatized freely because he loved the king. But his wife was, and his wife was his rock. So may we have a rock also. His story is just beautiful. It's not the kind of story that you necessarily read to children. You certainly skip over parts of it. But it is something that we should know. And it's not, the point of his story is not how he was brutally martyred, but how, by the grace of God, even though he had turned his face from God and had a black face, his wife and her prayers and her rebuke brought him to his senses. So St. James is a wonderful, beautiful saint. I prayed to him for very many years because he's just like you and me, except he was perfected. So if he can be perfected, so can we. So don't count on being brought back from the abyss. Try not to stand by the abyss if you can, the abyss of unbelief. But Even if you have a weakness, those that love you will be praying for you, and you can find your way back home. That's the story of James, the story of George, there's multiple other saints. And when my little boys, when Monster and Oboe get old enough, I will tell them the story and they will know it by heart. And may they have strength when they are tested. And may you have strength when you are tested. God bless you.